Welcome to WCULA Operation Pass NCLEX. Grad students, if you aren't using VADI to prepare for NCLEX, what are you using? Have you ensured that your method has the same high percentage of passing the NCLEX that VADI does? Just a reminder, there isn't an all or none method of studying. You can use more than one method. Please email Joan Wheeler when you have scheduled your testing date. Her information can be found in this podcast's text description. 493 students, you're going to have a few breaks this term. Don't fall off the wagon by ceasing your studies entirely. The Wednesday night study sessions will continue through the holidays. WCU will also be launching an animated series with aims to send out weekly cartoon clips by the end of the year. 480 students, midterms are approaching quickly. If you're confused on particular topics, please check in with your professor and the NCLEX specialists for assistance. A weakness in midterm will hinder you for your proctor and final. This week, we're going to be looking at nutrition information. NCLEX is relatively heavy on nutrition, especially with regard to the elderly and pregnant patients. They do ask several questions on pediatric patients for nutrition. Looking at diet history, we need to understand the time, type, and amount of food that patients eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. We want to understand the type of hydration that patients have. Are they drinking coffee? Are they drinking water? What about sodas and juice? And do our patients understand that juice is not a calorie-free liquid? It does have a high amount of sugar. This is particularly important when it comes to our diabetic elderly patients, as well as our pregnant mothers who are at risk for developing gestational diabetes. Our tools to determine nutritional health status, we're looking at hair that's dry or brittle, skin that has dry patches, poor wound healing or sores. The ability of a wound to heal is particularly important for our diabetic patients. We want to look and see if a patient has a lack of subcutaneous fat and or muscle wasting. This is going to show that the patient isn't getting enough proteins. Irregular cardiovascular measurements, heart rate, heart rhythm, and blood pressure are also strong indicators of nutritional status. Does the patient have an enlarged spleen or liver? Do they complain of general weakness or impaired coordination? If we're looking at anthropometric tools, we're going to look at the weight of the patient. This is really important when we're coming to our CHF patients. We want to check those daily weights. If the daily weights increase 5 pounds over a week, then we're going to be concerned that they are retaining water, and that's going to have an effect on their respiratory and cardiovascular status. We want to look at the patient's height. When you're measuring a patient, we want to do this on a vertical flat surface. No shoes, no head coverings, having the patient stand straight with their heels together, looking straight ahead. For an infant and young children, we want to get them laying down on a firm, flat surface. Be sure that you extend the leg all the way. For BMI with patients, obesity is deemed at a BMI greater than 30. A patient is deemed overweight if their BMI is 25 to 29.9. And a healthy weight is a patient whose BMI is 18.5 to 24.9. We want to look at protein level intake for patients. If we want to monitor the protein level that a patient has, we're going to look at their serum albumin levels. Pre-albumin is a sensitive measure for those who are critically ill and who are at risk for malnutrition. The values for these expected normals in albumin are 3.5 to 5.0. And pre-albumin is 15 to 36. A moderate depletion level is 2.4 to 2.9. And for pre-albumin, anything less than 10.7. We also want to look at the nitrogen balance. This is going to look at how proteins are broken down and proteins are created in the body. To record a nitrogen balance, you're going to take the protein intake over 24-hour spread, divide it by 6.25. And record the nitrogen excretion in urine over 24 hours and add 4 grams to that. You want to subtract the output from the intake, and this is going to give you your total nitrogen balance. A neutral balance is adequate nutritional intake. A positive balance means that there's protein synthesis and it's greater than protein breakdown, right? So you're going to see a nitrogen positive balance during growth stages, pregnancy, or during recovery from a disease. Negative balances indicate that protein is used at a greater rate than it's created, such as in starvation or catabolic states, following an injury or a disease. Remember, when you're dealing with patients, that some of them are going to have vegetarian diets. A vegan diet excludes all meat and animal products, meaning cheese, yogurt, things like that they're not going to eat. A lacto-vegetarian diet is no meat, but it does include your dairy products such as cheese and yogurt. Lacto-ovo-vegetarians include dairy products and eggs. You're going to make sure that your patients who are following any sort of a vegetarian diet are getting enough vitamin D, B12, calcium, and omega-3 fatty acids. And just to note, make sure that you remember that grapefruit juice interferes with the metabolism of medications, and this causes an increased serum level of the medication itself. Foods high in vitamin K decrease the anticoagulant effects of Coumadin. Things like dark green vegetables, eggs, and carrots. Foods high in protein can increase the metabolism of anti-Parkinson's medication, levodopa. This is going to decrease the medication's absorption and amount of transportation to the brain. So if a patient who is taking levodopa is eating a lot of protein levels, they're not necessarily going to get the amount of medication that they need. Tyramine is a naturally occurring amine food found in many foods that has hypertensive effects similar to other amines. Tyramine is metabolized by MAO, and clients taking MAOIs who consume foods high in tyramine can have a hypertensive crisis. Foods that are high in tyramine are aged cheese, smoked meats, dried fish, and overripe avocados. NCLEX would pose a question in this sense to you, stating that a patient who's taking an MAOI medication is coming in with a systolic blood pressure above 190. This patient states that they have a fondness for aged cheese and wine, right? They're going to want you to, along those lines, be able to educate the patient that the cheese is what's causing this problem. Herbal supplements can also cause potential interactions with prescribed medications. It's important that any herbal medication consumed by a client is discussed with the provider. Keep in mind that when you're taking the NCLEX or you're taking any of your in-class tests, that you do not recommend these herbal medications, that you rather suggest that the patient talk to the provider. A major question point that students have is regarding pregnancy, breastfeeding, and nutrition requirements. Keep in mind that the recommended weight gain in the first trimester is 1.1 to 4.4 pounds. Second and third trimesters start to get a little bit tricky. The recommended total weight gain is 2 to 4 pounds a month. Any patient that has a normal BMI, their recommendation is 1 pound per week for a total of 25 to 35 pounds. Underweight clients, we want them to gain just a little more than a pound a week for a total of 28 to 40. If a patient is overweight, meaning that their BMI is 25 to 29.9, we want them to gain 15 to 25 pounds total for their second and third trimesters. Obese clients who have a BMI over 30 are suggested to gain no more than a half a pound a week for a total of 11 to 20 pounds. That's all we have this week for WCULA Operation Pass NCLEX. Have a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving holiday. We will see you guys next week. Those of you who have Thursday and Friday classes, please remember that exams are doubled up on your return. That's all we have this week for WCULA Operation Pass NCLEX. Have a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving holiday. We will see you guys next week. Those of you who have Thursday and Friday classes, please remember that exams are doubled up on your return.